I caught up with George Groves in the southeast corner of Portugal at a training camp put on by his golf college. We talked about his hopes for a career in the golf industry and how he intends to achieve a goal which eludes 99.9% of all golfers. That goal? Well, is to reach a plus handicap. George recognises that golf has given him much needed confidence with the people that he meets. The Ells palsy, which is the result of a medical accident at birth, according to George, doesn't really affect him. But with only 20% movement and perhaps a little higher percentage of strength, there must be some movements that are impossible or at best extremely difficult, I ask. George responds with a couple of surprising and light-hearted comments. With his newfound confidence, he is at ease when saying that golf is about enjoyment, and he understands the seesaw nature of emotion that every player experiences. George recognises that it is an important year, but at no time do I get the feeling that he is putting himself under pressure. With help from family and friends, he intends to play more tournaments in 2018, and recognises that without their support, he could not afford to play. He embodies the advice that he is keen to pass on to others with similar disabilities. Don't let it stop you. Just keep going. The it is a disability. Good advice from a young player with an old head. I hope you enjoy this conversation with George Groves as much as I did. Great stuff. So I'm here with George Groves in what should really be a very nice, warm and sunny Portugal. It's anything but a warm and sunny Portugal today. You've got a storm. It's been raining. I know you're here for a few weeks, so I'm sure you'll get some better weather in the next few days. Hopefully, anyway. Can you tell me a little bit about the golf college? Because that's why you're here this week, isn't it?
So obviously when I left school, done with my GCSEs, all I wanted to do, I said to my mum, I just want to play golf. Really enjoyed golf in my childhood. So just went on Google, looked at a couple of colleges, and looked at Eastbourne first. Went through their daily basis, and they only play golf 3 times a week. A lot of coursework involved, which wasn't my strong point with coursework. So then obviously I looked at Lindfield. Right. Golf every day. Hour classes, which is perfect for me because I'm not really good at concentrating classes. Right. But, I applied and they accepted me. And now I've been here for 3 years now and I'm really enjoying it.
What do you like about the course particularly?
The course is Lindfield's quite a nice course. In the summer, usually in the winter, like any other course in England, it gets really boggy and wet. Yeah. But it's really there just for like the practicing and come out here and just play your best golf, really, in Portugal.
And it's a pretty good program, isn't it? It's quite an in-depth program that you've got there.
Yeah, it's a really good program, yeah.
What does a normal day look like then for you?
It was a normal day, so wake up about 7:30, 8 o'clock, get ready in there, then go to class for an hour or 2 hours, depends on how long the coursework is. And after that, usually go to the range with Paul, looks at your swing, see if you're swinging very well. And once we get Ben Clayton, the short game coach, looks at your putting stroke and chip in. And after that, have a bit of lunch, and then I usually go on the course and play 9 holes.
Right. And what type of coursework would you do then? So you said you might take a class, but what type of class might that be?
Biology, so basically it talks about the body, about your golf swing and all that, and that's pretty much it. It's quite a straightforward coursework, which I really enjoy.
So some kind of biomechanics and that kind of stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
And so from a kind of a personal side, what are you trying to develop in your own game?
The thing I'm struggling with at the moment obviously is my putting. Not really, because I've got a new putter. I always get new putters every year.
Right.
And
got a garage full of them by now, have you?
And they say my putting stroke's a bit in to out, which I'm leading that to push putting. But I've got a new putter now, and it's doing the job really out here. So that's making me shoot lower scores, which is really good.
Greens normally are quite good out here, so nice to practice.
Quick, yeah, quite quick. Forgiving as well. Yeah. And you can just if you play your best golf at ace, then you'll shoot below your handicap, which is really good.
And set you in good stead for the rest of the year once you get your putting stroke on good greens. It's quite nice. I suppose that we should probably track back a little bit and go back to the beginning, because as I understand it, it was a medical accident at birth that was responsible for your disability that you've got now. Can you kind of explain to me what your disability is and how it affects your movement?
It's basically my disability is Ehlers palsy. So it's a damage to my nerves and also my bones, which ligaments movement in my left arm. My left arm is shorter than my other arm. I only have about 20% of movement.
So from a practical perspective then, with that arm being a lot shorter than your right arm, what does it actually mean to you in your day-to-day life?
It doesn't really affect me. When I was young, I was still growing up with it. I didn't know what to do, so I used to get quite angry with myself. But now, as I'm like 18 years old, it hasn't affected me for about the past 10 years, which is really good.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, it seems like, from what I know about you, you can do pretty much everything you want to, even with your disability that you've got. Is that true?
Some things I can't do. Like YMCA, all that. But it doesn't stop my golf. Which is great, and I really enjoy the game.
I think you've got something like 20%, 30% strength in that arm, is that right?
But usually I used to do physio on it. Okay. So I used to get a bit stronger and a bit more movement.
Right. And you can do that. You've got exercise that you can do that. So I know you started to play golf at a pretty young age, didn't you? You were only 4 or 5 years old, I think, at the time. So who was it that introduced you to the game in the first
place? My parents, my mum and dad. They just said, do golf. It'd be good exercise for your arm. I went, okay, I'll do that. And then a couple of years in, I got quite competitive. Right. And I gave up football. I thought football wasn't my sport, so I done golf. Okay. I've been playing golf since 7 years old.
Can you tell me a little bit, because your first golf club that you had in Sussex, I think if I'm not mistaken, was a 9-hole golf course, Horne Park.
Horne Park, yes.
And what was it like being at that golf course? Can you tell me a bit about it?
It's a good start course for golfers to start playing. I was a member there when I was about 10 or 11 years old. I was there for a couple of years, met some great people there, great juniors. Obviously, I moved the cut form with a couple of them, actually. They moved with me. And, my handicap wouldn't really get cut at Horne Park. They wouldn't really cut it. So I went, do you know what, I have to go somewhere else, because I knew for a fact I was a better handicapper than what I was back then. Yeah. So I went to cut form, and then I've just improved massively.
Yeah. And what about the people that were at both golf courses, let's say at Horne Park to start off with, were they, how did they treat you?
Respect. They always asked me, are you all right, are you fine, how do you play? I was like, I'll just respond with any answers what they say, really.
And Copthorne, that's your home club now, and you play for the scratch team there. And what about other kids? I mean, kids at school and those kind of things, did you have any kind of issues with your disability on that or not?
Primary school was the one, really, when I was year 2, 3. Other than that, when everyone grew up, they knew that what was wrong, and then secondary school was fine, really. Nobody, nothing. Yeah, so they're all good friends, really.
You're a big lad anyway.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big lad.
What about your friends? You've got plenty of friends, I think, at school, obviously, but you've also got friends at golf course, I guess, now as well, yeah. Were they the same friends, or were they totally different groups of friends?
I'd say the same. Because some of my mates used to play golf, and they've got kind of like the same mentality as the others here. Yeah. So wasn't really a big change, really.
And I guess you play most of your golf with, well, you play with and against, should we call them, able-bodied players. Yeah. So how do they react when they play with you for the first time and realise that you've got a disability? Because when they look at you, you just walk into the first tee.
No idea. They pretty much sussed it out from my swing. I can't get the extension on the left arm because it's usually bent. Yeah. And they just used to talk to me about, like, how do you play golf? How can you actually play golf with a good standard? I was like, just work hard. Mm-hmm. Just don't let it affect me.
So it's all very positive then, it's not negative.
No, I'm always a positive guy.
Yeah, it seems to me that, I mean, I've done a lot of these interviews over the time, and it seems to me that's absolutely the way that golf is. It seems to just accept everybody in, and yeah. I think probably there's a few questions in the first time that somebody meets you, and you know, they have, how do you do this and how do you do that? But after that, then it seems to like just all go away and just a golfer like everybody else. And so how did you first find out about Edgar?
My mum looked into disabled golf, and obviously she found Edgar, and she went, why don't you just sign up and play in the English Disabled Open? I was like, yeah, do that. So I went for a medical pass. At St George's Hill.
Right, okay.
So I played 18 holes around there. So the guy signed me off and said, you are classed.
I'm trying to remember who you played with. I think you played with a guy called Dr. Hansa Rensden, or Professor Hansa Rensden. And did you play with Omar Malik?
Omar Malik.
He's one of our board directors.
Yeah.
Omar's a real passionate golfer. Yeah. He really is. Yeah. He's a good player too.
Very good player, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a real passionate golfer. I played with him out here, I think last year he came out and we just had a game of golf, and he was really into it. He enjoyed his golf. So tell me a little bit about your career now. So that because now you're going to leave the golf college, I think, probably in July. I think that's the end of your...
In July, that's the end of my third year.
And so afterwards, you'd like to work in the golf industry. Is there any part of the industry that really interests you?
Well, I was looking at jobs a couple of weeks back about caddying at Leatherhead Golf Club, just after college, just to... do that for about a year, see how that goes, and if I enjoy it, then I can keep on doing it. Just to like meet new people, meet good golfers, and just tell them what's about me and all about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And on the caddying, who would you like to go for caddying? I mean, if you were to go, let's just say you went to the European Tour.
European Tour.
Who's the player you'd like to caddy for?
In any of the tour events, Jason Day. He quite inspires me.
Yeah.
Just the way he's. He's focused when he visualises shots. He always closes his eyes and just pictures a shot shape in his mind, that's why mostly I do on the golf course.
Right.
So, and it helps out a lot. Really does help out a lot.
So your routine would be similar to that?
Similar to that, yeah.
So can you talk me through so let's just say now you're still on the first tee, we'll say Wentworth.
Yeah.
So you can picture the first tee at Wentworth, can you?
Yeah, I can picture the first
tee. So you're there, you're going to play. First tee at Wentworth, what's your routine look like?
So obviously tee the ball up, have a couple of practice swings, step behind the ball, close my eyes, visualise the shot.
Which shape would you see?
Draw.
Draw for you?
Draw for me, 100%. Obviously with the big dog.
Yeah. What is the big dog, by the way? What kind of club?
TaylorMade M1,
okay.
So visualise that, step over it and just nice smooth swim, just bomb it down the middle.
Right. And then stride off there like, I've done this 1,000 times before.
Yeah,
cool. Any other part of the industry that would interest you or not?
When I came to college, I was always thinking of going pro.
Right.
If you turn pro, you can't play in the team events, couple of events. Which, you know, that's kind of thought in my mind, like, oh, I could turn pro here, but depends when they actually change the ruling. So I may wait for more couple of years and just see what the rules do. And if it does change, then why not? I've just got to try and go pro.
Yeah. As a professional, would you want to play or would you want to coach or a bit of both?
A bit of both, play and coach. I really do like coaching. I like coaching. I'm like more like youngsters. I used to do coaching with Dean at Cotthorne. I used to do it with like a 9-10 year olds, which was really good fun. Never done golf before, so it was quite straightforward about the golf swing, which I knew anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, I used to do that for a couple of months, just help them out really, just give an extra hand.
Do you get any help on that in the golf college or not? A little bit of basic coaching stuff or not?
Not really. Sometimes the students go to me because they call me GG Swing Tips and all this. They say, how's this swing? How's this posture? So I get a video off of my phone, show them, and I go, good posture there, good flexibility. Yeah, it looks great.
I was going to ask you about that because as I walked in today, on the back, right across the back of your jumper there, you've got GG Swing Tips. So come on, how did you get the nickname?
Basically, one of the coaches overheard me talking to a student of me giving the swing lesson, and they thought, and they one of them went, that's exactly what I was about to say.
Right.
I was like, and I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. And obviously that he gave me the name Gigi Swinsitz, which is also another coach, which is he's an American coach called Gigi Swinsitz. Like, he's on Facebook, he's on social media and all that. So I looked him up and was like, oh, now I know why.
Okay, so you've inherited it.
Yeah.
Tell me, what do you think golf has given you, George?
Golf's given me a lot of things. Confidence, just to talk to people on the round. So usually I was quite shy when I was young. Yeah. But now I'm just like a really confident person, and I just really enjoy golf, playing with anyone, yeah. Anyone I can go out with.
And are there any specific shots on the golf course that you find particularly difficult?
Not really at all. I can hit a fade, draw,
yeah.
Left to right to left, straight, whatever shot. It's just practice, really. I just practice on them shots, which it just gave me.
Tell me a little bit, because I think it might be of interest for some of the players, that when you get into deep rough, heavy rough, do you find that at that stage you feel a slight disadvantage?
Not really, I just swing more hard at it, more steep, and then just try and pop that ball up in the air and just try and get as close to the green as possible.
Okay. And tell me, have you got any goals or objectives that you've got in golf that you'd be prepared to share?
This summer I'm going to try and get the handicap to plus one.
Okay. Right now you're what?
Off one, nearly scratched, 0.5, so...
Oh, you're close.
I'm on the edge.
You're right on the edge, yeah. And is it going to be a busy summer for you?
Definitely, yeah, with all the events coming up. Really looking forward to it. I couldn't play the one in Portugal because I was out here. But I'd be definitely playing in more events, a lot more events, which would be great.
How'd you get on with those events? I guess that you're self-funded for those, yeah?
Yeah, so I think one of my mum's friends... as they paid off my events from last year. Yeah. So I just had to pay for the flights, really. Yeah. And they paid for the actual event accommodation and that, which is great, which really helped me out.
Yeah.
Really helped me out.
Yeah, I mean, it's the bank of mum and dad or the bank of family, isn't it, normally, that for every player that's just getting started. Yeah. It was no different when I was a young lad. I was getting started at exactly the same situation because it is expensive to play.
Very expensive, yeah.
But it's part of the grounding that you almost have to go through, isn't it?
Yeah.
So tell me about what heroes or role models that you've looked at as you've progressed through your career.
I've got a couple in mind. I've got obviously Jason Day, which is my favourite golfer at the moment. Yeah. Gary Player, he was a great player back in the day. Always watched him. Golf swing was excellent back in that day. One of the best golf swings ever. And Nick Faldo as well, which is also one I look up to as well.
Yeah. Gary Player is a surprising choice for a young guy because we don't hear that too often from the young guys. And everybody thinks he's kind of disappeared and he's gone. But we were very lucky. We spent a little bit of time with him a few years ago now, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's fit as a fiddle and his energy is so high. It's incredible. He's came in and he lit the place up just by his being. He's an incredible man. Mm-hmm. What about any adjustments that you might make to golf to make it a little bit more user-friendly for golfers with disability? You've played with people that have got disability that perhaps are not in the same boat as you, because you can kind of walk into any golf course and it's just like everywhere else, isn't it?
Yeah.
But for some people, it's a little bit more complex because, you know, maybe they're in a wheelchair or maybe they've got one leg or whatever. Is there any changes that you might make to golf to make it a bit more user-friendly?
There could be a couple of changes. Obviously, seeing some para golfers play and the equipment's just off the moon. I've always looked at them and saying, how can they play golf? How can they swing a golf club?
Yeah.
And obviously the technology's getting more better and better and the years go on. So probably the next 10, 15 years, there'll be more adaptions really to the... to the equipment they have, which will obviously speed play up like that, and also have more enjoyment.
Yeah,
really, and that's what golf's about: enjoyment.
Yeah, and you see it as enjoyment.
I see and feel it as enjoyment. Yeah.
Yeah. What about the guys that you spend your time with here in the golf college? Because, again, for many of the guys, it's quite intense. That yes, I want to be a golf professional. I want to go and play the tour. I want to be. And do you think there's the same enjoyment with those players as there is perhaps with some of the other players that you play with?
Sometimes golf can be very enjoyable if you have a round of your life, like a 5-6 under, which can be very enjoyable. But sometimes it can't be enjoyable if you shoot like 10 over, something like that. So like golf's kind of like a like a balance. If you play well, if you play well, you're going to enjoy it. If you don't play well, you're just going to hate yourself.
And it gets pretty intense, I would think, because you've got 50 guys here all wanting to be better players, all wanting to be maybe make a career in golf, or maybe not all, but most of them perhaps wanting to make a career in golf. I mean, I guess it gets pretty intense. You're here for a month.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, you can't just switch off and disappear.
You've got to be on it 24/7.
Yeah. How do you deal with that?
Usually I don't take anything in. All I do is just focus on my golf, focus on winning all the merit, just focus on trying to pretty much win the race to Travose, which is an order of merit, which usually is like, obviously all 50 of us are in order of merit, and if you play well, 90 points for winning, 70 points like second to that fifth. And so usually I just concentrate on that, work on the game all the time, so if they try and say anything, I just goes on me.
Right. And what about the coaches in here? That they help you a lot with your game?
Yeah, every day. They always help. So if you've got trouble with your swing, just call them over or give them a ring saying, drive you come down to the range and look at my swing. I'm hitting the ball my best. They go, yeah, I'll be down in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They'll be down and look at your swing, video your swing. And then you just look at it and then, yeah, that's great. And just keep doing the same swing over and over again.
I think Dennis is out here as well. Dennis Pugh's out here occasionally, isn't he?
Yeah, he's coming out next week.
You spent a bit of time with Dennis over the last 3 years?
About 14 lessons with him now, 14, 15 lessons, which is good.
Yeah. How do you find him?
He's a great coach. He knows his stuff.
So if you could play a four ball, so I'm going to get you a flight.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you somewhere. What golf course would you want to go play? We'll start off with that one. Is there any golf course particularly you'd like to go and play you haven't played up till now?
Golf course I like to play, obviously Augusta or Wolf Creek is one of my top books.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll do Augusta for now. So we'll do Augusta. And then we're going to say, right, look, let's have a four ball. So it's you and three others. So who would your three playing companions be and why would you pick those three?
Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
Gary Player.
Yeah.
And then Sergio.
Sergio Garcia.
Sergio Garcia, because he won it last year.
Yeah.
So.
And if you could magically be with somebody who has got a similar disability as you have, what advice would you want to offer them?
Don't let it stop you. Just keep doing what you're doing. If it does stop you, then just fight through it. Yeah. And if you want to become a golfer, obviously be hard to start off with for about the past 6 months. But when you grasp it, it's quite straightforward. But it depends what level of the disability you have.
Right.
So mine's bad, but not as bad as some others I've seen.
Right.
Yeah.
Good advice. Yeah. Tell me, George, I appreciate your time. I know that you've been practicing, you've been working, and so now I know you've got dinner coming up very soon.
Yeah.
If people would like to reach you, how could they find you?
On the golf course.
On the golf course. What about contact details? Can they reach you by email or by Facebook or social media?
Mobile.
Well,
I'll always be up on the phone.
Yeah.
Right. So if anyone wants to reach me, just ring me.
Right. Well, what I'll do is I'll get the mobile number off you, and if you don't mind, I'll put it on. So what is your mobile?
07734.
07734.
358.
358 214. Great, George, really appreciate your time. Thanks for making it, and hopefully we'll see you on the golf course quite a lot this year. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you.